All right, again, I want to remind you, grab those phones if you have them. If you don't have them, that's okay too, but I want to encourage you to pull those out. And I'm going to start reading from one of Paul's letters to the early church. This is to the Corinthians. And this is right after Christ has died and was resurrected, and they're starting to have some concerns that he's not coming back again. So if the message that is preached says that Christ has been raised from the dead, then how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ hasn't been raised either. If Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. We're found to be false witnesses about God because we testified against God that he has raised Christ when he didn't raise him. If that's the case, that the dead aren't raised. If the dead aren't raised, then Christ hasn't been raised either. And if Christ hasn't been raised, then your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins, and what's more, those who have died in Christ are gone forever. If we have a hope in Christ only in this life, then we deserve to be pitied more than anyone else. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first crop of the harvest of those who have died. I wonder if you'd pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God, thank you for the gift of Jesus and that death was not the end of the story. Thank you for the gift, the creative gift of resurrection. God, I pray this morning that as I speak, you might in some way miraculously speak through me. God, that you would give us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that our minds would be open to understanding, that our hearts would be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, I love Easter. I love the joy of kids that come into the church on Easter. They've been up since about 5 a.m. They're so excited because Easter represents hope. So I want to invite you. There's going to be a QR code on the screen, or you can go to menti.com. I want you to give me just one word that you think of. What is one word that comes to mind when you think of Easter? So you can go to menti.com and put that code in, or you can just scan this QR code and give me one word that comes to mind when you think of Easter. Now, for those that think it'd be funny on Easter Sunday to put a bad word on the screen, just remember God is watching you, okay? But seriously, what word comes to mind when you think of Easter Sunday? I'm only gonna give you like 30 seconds. And if you're digitally challenged, that's okay. It's all right. Take just a few seconds here. What comes to mind when you think of Easter? All right, about 10 more seconds. One word. All right, let's close it. We're gonna see what words came up and the bigger words. Okay, hope. Oh, look, it's like shaken. Okay, there we go. It's like boom, boom, boom. It's really excited. Hope, risen, joy, resurrection. Tim, oh. That was probably my son. That had to be my son who put that on there. Of course. All right, life, rebirth. Oh, you see these words? These are words of hope. These are words of joy. Man, people come into Easter Sunday and it's different than Christmas Eve. People come into Easter Sunday and they've got such, and eggs. Eggs are on there too. People come in and they've got such excitement. We've been in this series here in this church the last 6 weeks where we're looking at the basics of the Christian faith. What do we believe? What do we say about those things? How do we believe those things? What does it mean? And that's what Paul is talking about to the early church in that passage I read earlier. In that passage, he's trying to say, look, if this resurrection thing isn't real, then we're all to be pitied. Because the worst thing, that which is going on in this life right now, is the reality. He's saying life is hard, life is challenging. And if that's the case, and if you notice, he goes on and on and on about, well, if not then, if not then, if not then. As if to say, I know things are tough and I know it's confusing. But at the end of the day, the resurrection, what he's trying to say is the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ brings hope in a world that is hopeless. Paul is trying to say the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that the worst thing is not the last thing. And he said, it's not just talking about the afterlife. He's suggesting that the resurrection of Jesus Christ affects our lives right now. Last June, my wife and I went to a wedding. It was a family member's wedding. And it was in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, I have to be really honest. If you're from Nebraska, you might be offended for a half second, and then you'll get unoffended, I hope. But Omaha, Nebraska, my wife said, honey, we got to go to Omaha. And I said, really? Omaha? And she said, yeah. She said, the flights were only like $600 or $700 to go to Omaha. I'm like, I could go to Disney for $150, but I'm going to go to Omaha. And I got to be honest, the whole time, somebody asked the other day, are you ever grumpy? I was grumpy about going to Omaha. I'll be honest, I was not excited. But I get to Omaha, and we arrive, and we find out it's actually a pretty cool city. Good food. You want good food? Go to Omaha. You want good walking paths around a city? Go to Omaha. You know what else I did? Look at this picture. I stood in two states at one time. I said, Iowa and Nebraska. That's, by the way, my only foot into Iowa is right there. But Iowa and Nebraska. Like, that was cool. And then we're walking through the city one day after getting great food, and we're looking at stuff, which I didn't buy, by the way, but we're looking at stuff, and there's a t-shirt that says this, Omaha. Better than expected. And I kid you not, in that moment, I looked at my wife and I said, that's the Easter sermon. That was June of last year. I said, the Easter message, the message of Easter is it's better than expected. The message of Easter is that the story that was the story is not the whole story. The story that was the story produced something, and at the end it was better than expected. Now listen, if I stood up here today, in this church we're about real. And if I stood up here today and only talked about hope and only talked about joy, that'd be hard. Because the truth is, in this week, three different people reached out to me about really hard things going on in their family. If I look at social media right now, it is not filled with a lot of joy. It's filled with hard things. We've got a politically divided nation. We've got a world that's in turmoil. We've got pain everywhere we look. And frankly, I hear a lot of despair. So this is a time for you to get out your phone again. One word, and this is honest, about our world, about our society, about our culture, and please don't get crazy political. It's just not helpful for everybody. One word, how are you feeling right now? And not in this room, I'm talking about right now in this stage of your life. Take just a few seconds. All right, take about 10 more seconds. All right, let's close it up. How are we feeling right now? Oh, it really got bouncy that time. Sad, tired, anxious. Some people are excited and happy, stressed, scared, thankful, hope. You see the mix there? People are feeling all kinds of things. And what I have found is I am finding myself at times in a place of despair as I watch the world around me. And I find that when we're in a place of despair, when despair controls our reality, it leads to other things. Despair can lead to physical response. Have you ever noticed that? Like when you're in despair, have you ever noticed that it can lead to full-on physical pain, full-on physical issues? It can lead to us being hopeless. It can lead to us throwing in the towel, but the question is, what if today we tried on hope? What if we believe that the story actually can be better than expected? Because friends, listen, life can be full of regrets. We can find ourselves in shoulda, woulda, coulda, wish we did. That's what parenting's all about, right? We could find ourselves in that place constantly. But I wonder, what if today you thought, maybe, just maybe, my illness, maybe this thing going on in my life, maybe these challenges, maybe the realities in our world, maybe they're not the end of the story, amen? Maybe, just maybe, that's not the end of the deal. Because there's a problem. When we're hopeless, hopeless leads to some really negative trails for us to go down. Hopeless takes away our creativity. It leads to a place where we become complacent. where we look at problems. You ever found yourself hopeless and you're gone, there's no solution to this problem? We get complacent. We get very, very, very tired. And the problem with the early church is they're so in despair that they can't be creative enough to believe that God has the capacity to raise Christ from the dead. They're in such a place of despair, they cannot believe that's true, so their creativity is gone. So one thing it leads to is a lack of creativity, a lack of hopelessness, or a lack of hope, sorry, despair, also leads to fear. Anybody else afraid right now? Right? Some of us are afraid. And when we're in a place of fear, we really get to a place of complaining. I said at the 8 o'clock, people really resonate with this. Anybody ever been part of an HOA? Right, I am fearful somebody might do something to my yard. I'm fearful the pool that I like might not still have the same chairs. Right, that's the real fear for people. And what do they start doing? I think social media is the death of HOAs. People just say whatever they want about the board, right? Oh, they're terrible, terrible people. Friends, fear leads us to a place of complaining, a place of anger, and it is not good for our souls. Now listen, there are people who have real fear right now. I don't want to downplay it. The early disciples had real fear. Jesus was gone. There were people that were really angry with him. The religious authorities, the political authorities were all mad at him, and they were chasing him. These early church folk were on the run because things were dangerous for them. So I don't want to negate their fear. But the problem is when we're in a place of fear, it fights hope. I mean, Christ came to say in the resurrection that life could be better than expected. But when we find ourselves in hopelessness at the lowest of low, life can be awful. Think about those disciples on that Saturday. Jesus had told them what was gonna happen. They knew, but for goodness sakes, he actually died. They all ran off and they caught up to each other again. They sat in a room alone. And then Sunday happened. On Sunday, Christ was resurrected. On Sunday, they said, maybe, just maybe, there's hope. On Sunday, they said, life can be better. And on Sunday, they said, it changed everything. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. That's what Paul's trying to get to in that beginning passage. If you can't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, then the life of Christ can't transform you. And that's not a judgment. That's just what he's saying. Because the resurrection of Jesus is that which offers us salvation. Now, that's a word that the church has really mucked with. I mean, really messed up. The church has turned that word into something you have to earn, something you have to do. You got to be good. You got to be perfect. You got to have it figured out. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. When I died on the cross and was resurrected, salvation came. Salvation comes to the world. People sometimes ask the question, when were you saved? I said, 2,000 years ago, right? There's no moment. Christ did it for us, friends. That's the beauty of the cross. And it changes everything. And it doesn't just change our life in the here and after someday. It changes our life right now. The church has turned it into a word that's about, oh, the future, so that you can get into heaven, somewhere over the rainbow, right? But Jesus didn't talk about it that way. He talked about salvation as something that changed our lives right now. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, something that transforms our lives in this very, very moment. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, used this word, and the word was justification. He said, there's a moment in your life where you recognize it. It's not something you do. God's grace is active, and you come to recognize it, and it begins to give you hope. It begins to bring transformation. And the great thing about God is God doesn't then leave you alone. God continues to walk with you. It's not like this moment where God says, okay, you got it, good luck. No, God says, I am with you. Not only does the resurrection change everything, the resurrection keeps Christ alive in our lives. It keeps Christ transforming our lives. The resurrection made life better than expected. See, friends, here's what we want. At least I won't speak for you. I want every day of life to be like a great sunny field. 72 degrees, little breeze. I want it all to be like that. I want every day to be that. Y'all know, if you come here ever, I talk about the weather all the time. and I'm 99% wrong, right? But that's what I want. But the truth is, much of life is more like a muddy field. Much of life is more like this. It's gloomy. We're walking through it, and at times it gets too heavy for our feet. At times it's like it's too much, it's too hard. And what Christ says in those moments is, I am here with you, I am walking with you. And frankly, in these moments, I'm gonna pick you up and I'm gonna carry you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that Christ will take us and walk with us, that it's not the end of the story. You may be in a pile of mud in your personal life right now, and I don't want to diminish that in any way. You may be in a pile of mud just in what's going on in the nation. But even in the pile of mud, the resurrection says Christ is there. Perhaps you've been in despair so long you'd only realize what's happening to you. Perhaps it is causing you so much grief and so much pain, and you don't realize how it's transforming those around you. And what I want to do is offer you a word of hope this morning. Life can and will be better than expected. Christ has the power to transform life in that way. So how do we do it? How do we get to experience it? Here's what we do. We choose hope. Oh, isn't that interesting? We wake up every single day and we choose hope, not hope in this life. We choose hope in the promise of Easter. We choose hope in the promise of resurrection. Christ is not dead. That song, he is alive. He is not dead, because dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. And I wonder what life would be like if we actually started to believe that. If we believe that the worst thing was not the last thing, and we started to live as people in that way, life might in fact be better than expected. Did anybody see the bookstore in Michigan that moved this week? Anybody see that video? It was like all over social media. It was such a cool thing. This group of people in this town, this bookstore had to move, and I don't know whether it was 9,000 or 90,000 books, but let's just say 90,000, because that's more. They had to move a bunch of books. And they had all these people in the town come out, and they formed a book brigade. And a dog was even part of it to move these books. I want you to see this social media post that they posted about it. Y'all, I love this. I love it so, so much. I love that that's the way they did it, because the community came together. And as I watched this, I said, oh, what if we, just the people called Crossroads, started a hope brigade? Like, what if we, just us, not everybody else, I mean, I'm hoping every church is doing this. I'm hoping every group of people is doing this. What if we decided to start passing hope to everyone that we came in contact with? You could even say, 99 bucks. No, I'm just kidding. But pass the hope, share the hope with the world. But share the hope in the world because you believe there's a possibility of what Christ can still do. Share the hope of the world because we need it. You know, sometimes people look at me and they say, Tim, come on. Do you really believe this stuff? Do you really believe that Christ died and was raised from the dead? And you know what I say back to people? I not only believe it, I'm counting on it. I need it to be true. You know what? There are a lot of flowers up here that represent people's lives. People gave in memory of other people, and they say, I'm giving this because this person matters to me. I believe in it because these flowers don't represent people whose lives are over. They represent people whose lives have changed. They represent people whose lives have transformed. I have hope in the resurrection because the worst thing is not the last thing. I have hope in the resurrection because, for goodness sakes, I need to have some hope in something right now. I have hope in the resurrection because my kids have the capacity to share that hope with the world, and their kids have the capacity to share that hope with the world. I have hope in the resurrection because if it's true, it changes everything. It affects every aspect of what we do in the world. Friends, the message of Easter is much better than the message of Omaha. The message of Easter is that it is, in fact, better than expected. Amen? Amen. Amen.